you
you're
paying
out of control.
Because if I
look,
come,
Chairman,
if I
can
come
we send
and talk shit about her, y'all gonna have a problem.
Welcome to the Jasmine Crockett Senate Campaign Show. Let the mind games begin.
Somebody said the other day, she's one of the leaders of the party. I said, you got to be kidding.
Got two words for every racist bigot living, Jasmine Crockett.
Crockett, a St. Louis-born private school princess who grew up in the cushy suburbs.
No one could have told me that when I went down to Austin, now looks like a little bit over a year ago, that I would be running for Congress.
Who embarrassingly cosplays as the hood's angry auntie the minute she smells a camera.
Baby, because these people, they are crazy, because they always talk about how Christian they is.
Her veteran socialist squad mentality immediately ostracizing most Texas voters.
Texas has always been found to be intentionally discriminatory.
It's almost like a slave mentality that they have. Now, about the time that that was published last year, around a million Latino voters in Texas were voting for Trump. Do they all have slave mentality?
No, and that's not what that said at all.
A strategy of blind delusion in a state where President Trump received 56% of the vote in the last election.
Y'all know we got Governor Hot Wheels down there. Come on now.
It's another day and another disaster by the Democrats. The reality is they have no vision, no policy. They have nothing to sell but hate.
Her routine is that she wants to bring a little bit of what I might quaintly call the ghetto catfight into these spaces. I get it, you know, bring a blaxploitation movie or something into Congress. Great, work it. But you do not make fun of the fact that somebody lives their life in a wheelchair. That doesn't work.
The campaign itself, the monstrosity has been on full display for years, where it is now finally crashing out before your very eyes.
Basically, the Republicans have become synonymous for Russians at this point.
When I first became a public defender, I had no criminal defense experience. And I walked in and I told my boss, Charlie, I said, listen, you should hire me. He said, why? I said, because I'm black.
I was clear that it was A. Jeffrey Epstein. But I never said that it was specifically that Jeffrey Epstein.
But as somebody who understands history, when I see ICE, I see slave patrols. There has been no oppression for the white man in this country. You tell me which white men were dragged out of their homes.
I do want people to know that just because someone has committed a crime, it doesn't make them a criminal.
We have no perfect systems. We have always had some level of fraud in anything that we have because there's no such thing as perfection walking on this earth.
Unfortunately for her, people aren't buying what she is vigorously selling.
I'm gonna show these white folks I ain't scared of them.
How is it possible that my 10-year-old daughter can hear Jasmine Crockett for the first time, listen to two clips, and the first thing she said to me was, Dad, her voice changed.
She is such an insult to all educated black women in America. She perpetuates the stereotype of a ghetto black hood woman, something she is not.
One of the most famous or infamous, depends on how you see it, women in society today is Jasmine Crockett, elected to office. And look at how she talks. Look at what she's brought. Just hood language for a lady.
So I'm going to say what the American people been wanting to say for a very long time. This party called the Democratic Liberal Party, y'all can kiss the American ass. The whole entire American ass. We're done with you clowns.
Texas doesn't think like a trust fund revolutionary poser. And the only thing more embarrassing than Crockett's circus is the media and the Democrats pretending she's anything other than the fraud she's always been. Then again, this is all the doomed Democrats have going.
I challenge somebody to go and find a clip of a Democrat invoking violence.
I think that you punch. I think you punch. I think you're okay with you okay with punching.
We are not only gonna punch you back, but we are gonna knock you out. I am here to tell you not only are we gonna punch back, but we about to beat you down. Just let me tell you that we know how to use a chair, whether we pulling it up or are we doing something else with it?
Congressman no.
John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexShowStore.com.
To the American Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch it live right now at band.video. It is December 12th, 2025, as we end out the year here at the InfoWars Central Texas Command Center. It seems like we'll be here for the rest of the year. Who knows how long in 2026. Got the stacks stacked. I've got guests lined up. Got everything organized into subjects. We've got corruption. The Kirk assassination, a little bit of health information, of course. And then I had to split up migrants and Somalis because they're the same, but they're also different. And especially now that Trump's eye has gone to Minnesota and what's going on in there, I think we've discovered a bit of a psyop that I'm going to get to in the second hour. Because this thing just looks too good to be true. And it's a young 20-year-old man who gets roughed up by some ICE agents. And then he's got the press conference ready and the press is there. And there's selective clips from his encounter. And it just seems too perfect. So we're going to get to that. But I want to start off. This is going to be clip 21. And as we go through life, you kind of wake up, you know, you have this awakening. So if you're watching this, you've had an awakening, you know, maybe a month ago, maybe a week ago, maybe 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, you've had an awakening. And some people see it as a blessing. Some people see it as a curse. And this is a young man who sees it as a curse. So I kind of want to start with that. And then by the end of the show, I'm going to play another clip of a guy who's also having an awakening, even though he doesn't want to admit it. And that is in terms of all the suppressed energy systems that we have out there that are being suppressed. But it's an interesting article. And that's from like 2017. But we're going to have, and in between is going to be all the other corruption and stuff like, you know, breaking news. We have executive director of Black Lives Matter charged with wire fraud and money laundering. This is from OKC, Black Lives Matter OKC. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into another stabbing on a train in Charlotte. So I don't know what's going on in Charlotte, North Carolina, but they are spending money. We're going to have a guest, Ken Silva, on that coming up in the bottom of the hour. And I don't know what's going on, but they're spending money on improving the image of the trains as people are getting stabbed on these trains. So it seems to be a place where criminals hang out and they go after people. But let's play this clip first. This is clip 21, 48 seconds long. And this is just the young man coming into, you know, he's a Zoomer, probably an older Zoomer, which makes him young. Unlike the millennial crew out here, we have. I'm a bit older than them, so I've seen a little more, played with a little more analog than they have. But here's that first clip, and then we'll come back and discuss it. Here we go.
I swear to you, awareness is a curse. Once you become conscious about things, you can't enjoy the simple parts of life anymore. You go to sit down and watch a movie with some friends, and within minutes, you're analyzing the manipulation tactics, the propaganda. You know, you go to a party, and instead of enjoying the moment, you're analyzing all of the social performances, the masks, like the facades that people are putting on. You just can't enjoy things anymore because you see right through them. Once you wake up, you can't go back to sleep. Your brain will just hyper-analyze every situation, which inevitably leads to more suffering. Like, I can't have a conversation with you because I just see how there's a desperate need for validation, and I don't want to entertain that, you know? And it's not that, like, I'm superior. It's just I can no longer relate. I can't act like this absurdity is normal anymore.
Reminds me of the movie Matrix, or the guy that kind of turns them all in. At one point, I forget his name, and he's the bald guy, and he's got the mustache, and he just wants to go back and eat the steak. He wants to eat the steak. And he's just like, you know, just put me back in. I've seen too much. I know too much. Just put me back in. And that can happen. There's a lot. You know, there's a reason they create a system to keep you distracted. It's because if too many people woke up, one, you'd have, you know, mass hysteria. That's why it's happening in bits and pieces, and people are finally catching up to InfoWars. And so this is going to kind of be the theme as we run through, because I'm going to be showing you all kinds of stuff. And I want to go back to a clip. This is from 2009. This is Christopher Hitchens talking about how eventually they're going to have these hate speech laws. And that's what we see now, you know, 15 years later in the UK, we have now, you know, hate speech posts, liking posts, you could get arrested. So this is clip 12, Christopher Hitchens predicting hate speech laws back in 2009. Here it is.
Thank you. This is very urgent business, ladies and gentlemen. I beseech you, resist it while you still can, and before the right to complain is taken away from you, which will be the next thing, you will be told you can't complain.
It's good now.
Because you're Islamophobic. The term is already being introduced into the culture as if it was an accusation of race hatred, for example, or bigotry, whereas it's only the objection to the preachings of a very extreme and absolutist religion. Watch out for these symptoms. They are not just symptoms of surrender, very often ecumenically offered to you by men of God in other robes, Christian and Jewish and smarmy ecumenical. These are the ones who hold open the gates for the barbarians. The barbarians never take a city till someone holds the gates open for them. And it's your own preachers who will do it for you, and your own multicultural authorities who will do it for you. Resist it while you can. And if you wonder what will happen if you don't, look and see how a cricket team in Middlesex in England had to change its name by force last week, because it was called and had been for years the Middlesex Crusaders. Look and see how stories about little pigs can't be taught to children in schools anymore, lest offense be taken by the religion of peace. Resist it while you can.
Yeah, so we saw that here in the United States. What are the commanders used to be called the Redskins, and they used to have a profile of an Indian. It was a well-known Indian, and in fact, the tribes are now talking to the NFL saying, hey, we like the Redskin logo. It was a source of pride for us. But, you know, the do-gooder liberals are like, oh, this makes them feel bad. That was Christopher Hitchens back in 2009 saying, hey, this is about to happen. Get ready. And now we're seeing people, you know, arrested for texting somebody. Hey, the guy that raped me was a faggot. Oh, no, you can't text that to your friend in a private text message. We're going to come arrest you. And all the stuff I'm saying, you could pull up. You could pull up. Now, this is a clip that was posted yesterday by the I Am British Reel. And it got a million views. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, wow, this is crazy. It happened actually a year ago. And this is in Doncaster, England. This is a hotel where they were housing migrants. And the people finally got fed up with what was going on. And they decided to basically kick the migrants out. So this is a short clip, and I'll kind of narrate it as it's going for those who are listening. But basically there's police. You guys can start rolling it and just bring the sound in. There's police on the side, and people are attacking the police who are protecting the migrants, and they want these people out. And you can just see it, and I'm like, wow, this is crazy. This was not on the news anywhere, and I'm looking at it, and then I realize, oh, it happened a year ago. And there's a BBC article on it. But this is what happens when people get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Or as Gerald Celente says, when they've lost everything, then they lose it. And so, yeah, in August 2024, violent scenes unfolded as fires were set outside a hotel housing 200 asylum seekers and the mob chanting "burn it down." Now, were they doing this because they were racist? Well, that's what they want you to believe. They want you to believe this is just a racist mob, and not that they were being victims of crime from these, 200 migrants, or they were looking at the money that was being spent to house these migrants. And now we got chaos in the EU as countries will be fined £17,500, or that's euros. No, that's pounds, per penalty. So it's about 20,000 euros per person who they refuse to rehome. That's the EU. And this, they talked about this a couple years ago, and now they're doing it. So if you don't house these people who show up, who are being led by the nose from the NGOs up to these spots in Europe, given boats, £20,000 per person is what they're going to start charging. So it's going to take countries standing up. And this might be another catalyst, along with Elon Musk, who's saying we got to get rid of the EU. Maybe the EU has outlived its usefulness. It was a dream of Hitler. People don't like to admit that. They like to revisionize their way around it. But Hitler wanted a European Union. But he wanted them all speaking German. And the nobles in Brussels couldn't have that. So let's go to the next clip. This is a... we're going to stay in England. This is 14. We could just roll this. This is a citizen journalist capturing just a plane full of men from Afghanistan coming in. And we just had an Afghanistan migrant who actually worked with the CIA. Had him come in, and he decided to drive across country to shoot a couple National Guards people in the head. Isn't that nice? But here they are. You can see the families and the children and the women. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's just men. Just men of fighting age. No big deal. No big deal. Don't worry about it. There they are. You're just coming off the plane in droves. And if you don't house these people, it's a $20,000 fine. If you don't take your tax dollars and spend it on these people and give them food and shelter and a phone and all the things they need, you get fined. And this is just a prelude out of Somalia, Little Mogadishu, where they're arresting one of these guys who says, "Delete me from the signal chats." And this is going to be clip 15, yes. Clip 15, yes. ICE Yeah, delete me from the chats. This is interesting. So if this guy's on your chats, he's getting deleted. Here it is. It's very short.
Last name.
Smash in there on signal. Help them delete me from all the chats. Smash in there on signal. Delete me from the chats.
So these guys are obviously planning something. If he wants his chats deleted, if Smashing Bear wants all of his chats deleted in Signal, then obviously they're planning something. But, you know, these aren't just spontaneous protests where they're running around. In fact, there was a here in Austin on the radio, the FM radio station, I think it was 93.7. They were actually telling people where the ICE caravans were. They're like, oh, they're on 183 South going to these neighborhoods. So, like, the mainstream media radio stations are in on the game, too. Because, oh, how are you grabbing these people and sending them home? Well, everyone was offered a chance to go home. Free plane ticket and $1,000. And about a million people took that offer. And those that didn't are now turning, they want to turn into migrant martyrs. And they want to be, you know, seen in the streets screaming and crying instead of just going home and doing the process right. People are like, how can we do this? How can we do this? Well, listen, there's too many here. Some of them haven't assimilated, right? Some of them have. And some of them here have families. Some of them have decided not to follow the law and show up for their immigration hearings. Some of them self-deport. They tried to get Kristi Noem yesterday in a hearing, and they're talking about some guy who self-deported to Korea because he had drug charges, and he just decided to self-deport. And he was, you know, I think he came here when he was 5 or 7 or something like that, and he served in the military, and God bless the man. Wish him a great life. But he had some issues, and he wasn't exactly legal because he wasn't born here, and he wasn't... And he had not gone through the process of becoming an American citizen. But let's just look at this is a 3-minute clip about the white guilt that's going on. This is from Nick Shirley. And he encounters a white guy who says white people deserve to be robbed. And then Nick says, okay, well, and he's got some black guys with him. He says, okay, I guess this guy wants to be robbed because he says white people deserve to be robbed. So here it is. Here's the clip.
Hey. Who is this guy? Come with me. Here we go. Look, now he's running. There he is. He's running away. What's going on? You got a problem with us live streaming or what?
I mean, this ain't where you're from.
Is there a problem with me being here?
You're a white person.
What was that all about?
Let's pause real quick. This ain't where you're from. You see? Because he's not from that city or that state, Nick, Shirley. Why is he there commenting on stuff? But yet, it's okay for migrants to show up from the other side of the world and go, give us better food, give us better housing. You see the disconnect there? Like, it's okay for the migrants to do that because they're our guests, but OMG, anyone else? Oh, if you're from a different state, oh, you don't have any say. Let's continue. It gets better.
You don't pay the stolen land tax?
You're white as well.
Stolen land tax.
And you're whiter than him, Billy.
Well, you're white as well. I don't understand where you're coming from.
Because you got to take accountability for it.
Accountability for what?
Systemic problems. Because this right here, you're occupying indigenous land here. You're occupying space that isn't here.
I can say the exact same thing to you.
You can. And you should.
And you're occupying this
and
space.
And we should. We should be calling out people. Honestly, he and I deserve to be robbed.
Who is we? Humans. You say we deserve to be robbed.
Yeah.
Okay, take his iPhone. Take it.
Yeah.
Take it.
Karma's about to happen.
Right, you want to help my mutual aid friends?
Give me it.
Do you want to? Okay.
Give me it.
Do you
want to see take his iPhone. Take his iPhone.
You just said you didn't want it.
Dude. Give me it.
I use this to help people.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
You want to go to hell?
I use this to doom scroll every day.
You just said you deserve to be robbed, though.
I help so many people that need this because that's the way that I connect with people.
No.
They need this.
I do as much as I can.
But no, you need this. But you just said you deserve to be robbed.
It seems like you need this.
He needs a phone. He needs a phone. Help him out. He needs a phone.
I need a $30 phone.
You want this phone? Come get it. He said he deserves to be robbed.
Do you know what Kofi is?
Come get it.
We can do that.
Come get it.
We can do that.
Look, now they'll
take
the phone.
We can do Kofi.
Pull up the definition of Kofi.
No, you said you deserve to be robbed.
I deserve a deal where you make when you're getting robbed.
And you'll be hurting people.
Who?
You'll be hurting my friend Corey.
How?
My friend Corey needs resources.
Okay. How are you helping your friend Corey so far if she doesn't have those resources?
Because I give them to her.
Where's my $30?
As well as several
giving
other
it to her and actually allowing her to have the choices.
So this guy said he deserves to be robbed. I don't want him to be robbed. We're not going to let these people.
I mean, this is karma hitting you right in the face.
See what happens when he says, I deserve to be robbed, and then he gets robbed.
This is how you test philosophy.
He doesn't want to get robbed because nobody wants to get robbed. No one deserves to get robbed. This guy's a lunatic.
Huh?
You should be.
Should be what?
You should be upset with people like me.
I am. That's why I'm going to rob you, dumbass. The f-
Why?
Huh?
I mean,
why? Because you're on indigenous land, not your land. My land. My people's land. F*** is you talking about, nigga? I can do whatever the f*** I please on my land. Now give me the phone.
I need it to help people.
No, you don't.
I do.
No, you don't.
I got 10. I got
$10. He's making deals.
Man, I'm
going to
have more than $30. Show me what you want.
They want 30. He's like, no, you can have 10.
Wait,
we still getting the phone. Let me get the phone.
And you see this, people? You see how the cycle works? I said I wouldn't take the phone. My little niggas on the other hand.
I
didn't say nothing about them.
He said he deserves to get robbed.
Yeah, he
All right. Let's see. Okay. Anyway, that was interesting. That's karma biting you right in the face right there. His ideas are being tested. And we're only going to play part of this as we go to break, but this is interesting. This is an American trucker bitching about migrants who like to wash their feet in the sink and in the toilet. I'd never heard of this. This boggled my mind. People actually stick their feet in toilets. You guys stick your feet in toilets out there? I mean, I don't do that. Here's the clip. I mean,
I am so tired of walking into a men's room at a truck stop and sitting down in a stall and having somebody beside me. It sounds like they're taking their hand in the actual toilet bowl and just doing this right here. But what they're actually doing, though they do that sometimes, they'll actually flush the toilet, stick their hand in it if they don't have a bottle of water readily available, and they'll do this right here with the water to rinse themselves off, if you know what I mean. But if they have a bottle of water, that's when it gets really nasty and vile. They'll pour the bottle of water out, and as they're doing it, they'll take their hand and do this right here. As they're, you can just imagine
exactly.
What that looks
I'm wondering
like.
Who's filming
and
in the bathroom all this interesting stuff. Is this an AI video?
Purposes, I mean, I guess they're not allowed
who does
to use
this?
Toilet paper.
That looks like a
the
still.
The problem with that is that water splashes everywhere. It hits the
cleansing surface.
And then it splashes
everywhere.
Flying
it goes
J. over the top of the stall. It goes
sounds like
on
a book
the
title.
Toilet. It goes on the ground, the handle of the toilet, the door itself. It's an actual biohazard. And then those same guys will get out and they'll go to the sink. And instead of washing their hands in the sink, at least. No, they're not doing that. They don't wash their hands in the sink. They stick their feet in the sink. They pull them out of these nasty, gooped-up sandals because when they get done washing them, they put their wet feet right back in the sandals.
Ooh.
And they pull them out of those. And the smell, I mean, it has hit me like a ton of bricks.
The before, smell.
And they'll wash their feet in the sink. No soap or anything.
Poop
just,
feet.
Just water. So the smell is horrendous. And then they just
put it back in the sandals, and then you wash your feet in the sink.
I mean, I am appalled that we have gotten to a point where this is considered common practice.
I mean, it's literally idiocracy. It's literally drinking water out of the toilet, washing your feet out of the toilet. Maybe they wash their face in the toilet. Reminds me in Italy one time, there was a guy at the fountain. He was literally washing his butt at the drinking fountain where people drink out of. We're going to be back with a guest, Ken Silva, to talk about violence on the trains in Charlotte. Stay tuned. You're watching the American Journal. Thanks for joining me.
My Pillow alone, just My Pillow, not counting me, it costs them over $200 million directly related to Arctic frost, everybody. What they've done to my company, tried to just wipe them off the face of the earth because I'm out there going, we need to secure our elections. We need to secure our elections. We need to get rid of the machines. We need to go to paper ballots.
You were literally terrorized and targeted, and it's in the documents.
And that thing goes so deep. It's funny, Alex, things go so far, and then they tend to get stopped. But you guys, just know, I am never stopping. I will never stop. And number one, my number one thing is we need to secure our election platforms.
Let's talk about this. People supporting what you're doing and getting the highest quality, you name it, great products. Almost all of it made in America. Your great Giza sheets have that special cotton everybody knows comes from Egypt, but you're amazing.
Right.
I've got some on my king bed. Talk about the incredible products you've got at MyPillow.com/Alex. And again, I want to be clear. We are only here still hanging on, but now people support at TheAlexShowStore.com or at MyPillow.com/Alex is absolutely critical. This is now literally up to you every month whether we're going to stay in this fight. We're both workaholics. We love people. We love telling the truth. You know, these corrupt people, you know, think we're schmucks because we're not corrupt. No, we know how to be corrupt if we wanted to, dumbasses. But we like being good people. That's what builds a society.
We're the tip of the spear. This is it. We only get one shot at this. And like I said, about 2 years ago, they said, Mike, would you, if you could turn back time here and go back, and if you wanted to spoke out about the election, wouldn't stand your ground. You know, look what they've destroyed and tried to destroy you. I said, I would never change a thing knowing what I know and knowing what this is critical. And that's where we're at. And it's because of all of you, because you buy our products. And that's why we're putting right now on sale our five flagship products. We have five flagship products, our biggest products of all time. For you go to MyPillow.com/Alex, and you guys are going to see we've got the Giza Dream Sheets. If you put that thing up there, these are all for Christmas presents, you guys. You can get the best Christmas presents ever. The Giza Dream Sheets, the towels, the slippers. On the MyPillow Premiums, we've sold 85 million MyPillows because they work. You save over 50% on those. And then the mattress toppers made in the USA, $149.98, as low as that, depending on the size. But we got in the premium My Towels that actually work. You save 50% there, $39.98. And here's one of my favorites, the My Slippers. Best slippers in history. They're normally $149.98, $39.98. And once they're gone, they're gone. We can't get those back. They're made with impact gel, made out of soybeans. And so you walk on them, and it's like walking on a cloud. It's absolutely awesome, this patented gel that's in there. And then you have the Giza Dream Sheets. It's my favorite product. It's our president's favorite product. And not as low as $29.98. And I want to show you one more. You guys go there, and you're getting five of these Bible pillows. These are very dear to me. They've got stories on the back. You get basically five Christmas gifts for $29.98 for all five. You got the baby Jesus, Noah's Ark, Daniel in the Lion's Den, but you get all five of them. So you get five individual gifts for under $6 a piece. Free shipping, promo code Alex on your entire order. No matter what you are, this is an exclusive free shipping on your entire order. So go to MyPillow.com/Alex, and it's a win, win, win. You guys are supporting my employee-owned company. You're getting the best products at the best prices in history. You're supporting this great, Alex's great show. I'll tell you, Alex, I can't be prouder, more proud than anyone that support your show and what you put out and help save this country more than anyone, and I mean that.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Well, that was a fun-filled first half hour of The American Journal here on Friday. The guys were shocked. I was quoting people and what they were saying. I'm not going to repeat it because, you know, it's a family show. But my guest joining us is going to have more of this insanity. And if you go to the website headlineusa.com, it is Ken Silva. He goes at JD_cashless. He's an independent journalist. And he's been covering, you guys remember Irina Zarkutska? I can't really say her name. But she was the Ukrainian who was almost beheaded on, stabbed in the neck on the train. Well, now there's more stabbings on the train. And at the time that this is all happening, Charlotte is spending $3.4 million on a PR agency. And what I'm wondering, is this the same PR agency that charged Austin $1 million for their logo, their ugly looking logo, which you guys can bring up at any time, paid $1 million for this logo that looks like ChatGPT, like not even ChatGPT, like the first iteration of ChatGPT made this logo. So that's what's going on. We're going to have PR companies coming out here trying to brainwash people into thinking these trains are safe. When, you know, these things make the news, but there's the logo right there. Ken, let me ask you this. How widespread, the violent incidents in Charlotte on these trains, in the trains and in the train stations, is it getting out of hand? Is it increasing? Is it decreasing? What is going on in Charlotte, North Carolina?
Well, thanks for having me. And I mean, when you have two horrific stabbings in the span of about 4 months, I mean, it's pretty obvious that the situation is out of hand, and, you know, hiring a PR agency isn't really, you know, the solution for this. So I've got a little bit of news outside of the PR agency. You know, the Trump administration has actually stepped in and charged both of these men federally, even though we had the murder of Irina Zarutska in August and an attempted murder of a local guy by a Honduran illegal immigrant last Friday. There are state charges, but the Justice Department has also levied something called committing an act of violence on a mass transit system, which is a federal case. And so I actually attended DeCarlos Brown, the person who murdered Irina Zarutska. His first federal hearing was yesterday. There wasn't much to report from that hearing. The judge simply read the charges and, you know, sent him back to county jail. I guess I could tell you his demeanor. He was kind of confused looking, wasn't really paying attention. Even when she mentioned that the death penalty's on the table, he was kind of just looking around the courtroom. And to that end, you know, you mentioned the operative word insanity, and it looks like his lawyers have filed a motion signaling that they will pursue an insanity defense of sorts. They're saying he doesn't understand the case against him. He's not competent to proceed. And so that will be argued at a later date. But he does have a history of being diagnosed with schizophrenia. We've got body cam footage I sent you if you want to play of him telling police in January that he had, quote, man-made material in his body. And instead of, you know, they arrested him for misusing 911. And then 8 months later, we've got this national tragedy. So how the courts will handle this has remained to be seen. But it is like a tough issue to grapple with.
So he's able to dial 911, but he doesn't understand that you can't stab somebody on a train in the neck and kill them. Like, so that's kind of a disconnect there. But he's capable of picking up the phone and dialing 911 and then having conversations with officers about, you know, things in his body. That's an interesting defense there.
Yeah, fair enough. And to your point, he has a history of violence. And I've noted that I think he assaulted his sister. So that history is always him, you know, committing violence against somebody smaller and more vulnerable than he is. So obviously, you know, even if he is insane, he's criminally insane. He's not attacking 6'5", 300-pound men. It's always a young, vulnerable victim. So your point's well taken. I think, you know, some of the conspiracy theorists, though, have kind of, you know, they are wondering, he's talking about, you know, the government putting a chip in him and stuff like that. So, you know, it is worth noting.
And then you have this a second stabbing going on by the Honduran illegal immigrant. Or is he an illegal, or is he a legal immigrant? It doesn't really say here in the article.
Oh, he's very much illegal. He came here illegally around, I think, 2010. He was charged with robbery in New Jersey in 2013. For some reason, he was allowed to stay in the country. He committed another assault with a deadly weapon in 2016 and was eventually deported in 2018. He again came into the country illegally and was deported in July of 2021. And then he came again, and he's been living as a homeless man in Charlotte. And then he winds up stabbing somebody who actually survived the attack last Friday. One thing I want to add there is that the victim, Kenyon Dobie, as you see in my headline, he says he was defending an old lady from this illegal immigrant. We've since come across information that would call that into question. First of all, the federal charges against the illegal immigrant don't mention anything about him attacking an old lady. But second of all, the victim in this case has since been charged with assaulting his girlfriend back in October. Apparently there was a warrant out for his arrest, which wasn't executed until he wound up in hospital. And then the police went and picked him up. So, I mean, Charlotte is just a mess.
It certainly is. Yeah, you've got the victim who's also a perpetrator in another incident. You've got this guy who can't stay out of the country, and we can't seem to keep him out of the country. And then, in a case like this, if you get convicted, is he going to go to jail here in the United States if he hits these federal charges, or are they just going to deport him to El Salvador? Is that a possibility?
Well, that's a good question, and I think that's one of the reasons why the Trump administration has stepped in this case as well. So he was charged with attempted murder on the state level, but, you know, there probably is a little bit of politics in play, but the Justice Department probably also feels like it has a legitimate interest to make sure that justice is done here, since Charlotte has such a track record of treating criminals with kind of kid gloves. So he was hit with the same charge as DeCarlos Brown, committing an act of violence on a mass transit system. That doesn't carry the death penalty because the victim in this case doesn't die. But I've got to imagine that they're going to hit him with these charges and then probably seek another deportation order and try to get him out here, out of the country once and for all.
And so looking at the Charlotte transit system, is it something where they're allowing people to ride for free as sort of like a shelter situation? Or, I mean, how does it seem to be a hotbed for this type of activity? Or do people get free passes? Is it high up or is it on the ground level? I mean, I don't know. It's kind of weird because it's not really an older city. You know, Charlotte's fairly new in terms of, population growth. But they do have a mass transit system, this train light rail, I guess, as they call it here in Texas. But how are these situations able to happen like this?
I've been living in the area for close to 4 years now, and I kind of describe it as Austin, Texas of the East, in that, you know, it was a thriving, successful city that's kind of expanding. I guess that's the cost of its success. And it seems like the infrastructure here can't handle the population boom. And so the way you described it is kind of like a lawless system was how it had been running up until the Irina Zarutska incident in August. And after that, the city council postured that they were devoting more security and making sure nothing like that could ever happen again, which makes what happened last Friday all the more egregious. To your question, the illegal immigrant Oscar Solorzano, he had been banned from this train. So it's actually unclear how he got back on in the first place, whether he jumped a turnstile. More questions exist. Well, why weren't there guards given what happened back in August? And of course, even after that happens last Friday, it's actually 3 days later that the city council approves this $3.4 million PR contract for this train system. I mean, you can't make this up. Apparently, this had been on the docket for a while, even before the August stabbing. And so the city council's justification is that, hey, we need to advertise for the train system. This has nothing to do with the stabbings. It's just really bad timing. But the tone deafness of it all is just really outstanding. And you've also got two Republicans on the city council that have voted for this as well. It was a unanimous decision. So, you know, I don't really know what's going on here. It seems obvious that they should be spending that money for more security rather than, you know, commercials and advertisements.
Yeah, that seems to be the obvious answer there. Let's put some guards. Let's put more cameras. Let's put some phone, anything in there to help the regular citizens who are just trying to go about their day without getting, bludgeoned or stabbed. Looking at the illegal immigrant problem, there were stories out of North Carolina. I believe it might have been Raleigh. But it might have been Charlotte. But when ICE was in that area, they said 30% of the students weren't showing up for school. So, no, it's actually Charlotte. So it's the same issues. I think, you know, Charlotte seems to be attracting a lot of illegal immigrants. So 30,000 Charlotte students absent from school. Oh, no, that was in protest of the ICE operation. They said when they started coming around in there, like 30% of the students weren't showing up for school, which would make you think, wow, that's like, okay, so you could say 30% of the population's probably illegal. Would that be safe to say?
I wouldn't want to guess about that, but I could tell you that there is a huge illegal population here for sure. I think one of the reasons is that it's a huge transit. 77 passes through Charlotte, which goes straight from Miami all the way up to Cleveland. You've got 85 passing through here that goes all the way, I think, to D.C. So there's it's a big trafficking problem, and the location is one of the reasons. And I'm glad you brought up the issue of school absences, because there were protests against ICE, in response to the recent operation here, which only netted 200 arrests. Obviously, they missed the train stabber. But that reminds me, a school also recently criminally investigated a student who painted a pro Charlie Kirk memorial on the Spirit Rock, which is like that giant rock in front of the high school. And so it's another sign of total derangement and misplaced priorities, where they think there's nothing political about protesting ICE removing illegal immigrants, but they're criminally investigating a student who, just wanted to pay tribute to Charlie Kirk, and they investigated her for, vandalism.
Seems to be a pro-crime mindset. Like, hey, you can do whatever you want. Just, don't put anything out positive for Charlie Kirk, who didn't hurt anybody, didn't do anything. He was just speaking his mind and trying to get people to vote. And he got shot in the neck. We've got some stories about that coming up later, because it seems to be a hot button issue of what's going on, of people asking questions and other people saying, hey, you're not allowed to ask questions. I mean, do you want to jump into that fray right now, or how are you feeling about the Charlie Kirk murder?
Well, I've done a couple stories on that. I'm the guy that revealed who Charlie Kirk's security team was, and the fact that they apparently undercut his previous firm, Schaefer Security Group. I guess they lowballed him for the contract.
I covered that story.
Oh, okay. Nice. So I kind of tend to believe the official story insofar as that Tyler Robinson was involved. I still can't get past the point that his parents turned him in. I know a lot of people have questions about, we don't have footage of him taking the shot. There's questions about how a .30-06 wouldn't make an exit wound. These are legitimate questions. I also have concern about the lack of transparency going on with the court proceedings, where the defense and the prosecution are in agreement that they're pushing to ban cameras. But I just can't get past the fact that the parents turned the kid in.
Yeah, and there seems to be several stories that it was a pastor friend who maybe recognized him, but he also had some interesting connections. And he goes, from what I've heard, and I don't know if any of this is true or not, because, everything seems to be cloudy and hidden with, gag orders. But he talked to the parents, said, well, he needs to turn himself in. He's definitely guilty. And he might have been there. There seems to be footage of him around there. There seems to be footage of him. I don't know if that's him, the pictures they're showing, because, once AI gets involved, I think it should be criminal that AI is used in any criminal cases. Here's AI footage. No, you can't put out AI footage and go, this is legitimate. And I think it should be a federal law that you're not allowed to introduce AI, any type of AI evidence, photos or video as evidence. You just can't do it. We can't put that out and say, well, we have AI. AI said this happened. Because AI could then make it, like I've seen some of this AI, you could make it look like anything. And if you run it through a filter a few times, you can make anything look like a potato video. And then, well, now we're all guilty.
They released the enhanced photo. So that, the FBI has made some questionable moves here. Releasing an AI enhanced photo, of course, is pretty egregious. And then there's the fact that they claim that there's these inscriptions on the bullet casings. We haven't seen pictures of those, saying, hey, fascist catch or OWO. One theory I have on that is the trans lover roommate, Lance Twiggs, somebody recently leaked a bunch of his notes. And I noticed that in his notebook, it does say OWO. And so I'm curious whether he was actually the one that wrote that on the bullet casings. And that could be one motive for them not wanting to release it to the public, because if Lance Twiggs wrote that, they're not going to be able to use him as a witness. In fact, he'd arguably be an accomplice.
Yeah, exactly. And we haven't seen any other arrests. They're trying to keep this, seems like, to one person. That seems to be the government's, like, they love a lone wolf, because then it can't be, there's nowhere else to look. And, you know, there's talk about people putting this out on, you know, comments saying, hey, look out for September 10th. You know, Charlie's going to get it when he comes to Utah. All these different text messages that were out there. I don't remember the exact wordings of them, but people were alluding to something was going to happen when Charlie came to Utah. And this was his first visit for the season, I guess, the new fall college season. And there's one right there. Let's just say something big will happen tomorrow. I mean, are these people just walking around? Has the FBI even investigated? Have they questioned any of these people? How do you know information like this? You know, just a bunch of Karnaks running around. That's an old Johnny Carson reference.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, steel man the prosecution's case for why they might do this that's not totally nefarious. If they want to secure the death penalty, they probably need to solely pin it on Tyler Robinson and say he's the mastermind. That was actually the prosecutor's justification for not charging others in the Oklahoma City bombing, in which the government pretty much just said Timothy McVeigh was a lone wolf. He had minor assistance from Terry Nichols and Michael Fortier, but McVeigh was actually part of a wider neo-Nazi network, including bank robbers called the Aryan Republican Army, who helped funded his op. But if you read some of the books of the old, you know, what the prosecutors say, of course, there's conspiracy theories that there were FBI informants involved, and that's why they solely limited it to McVeigh. But their justification was that we really want to get the death penalty for McVeigh. And if it's revealed that he only drove the truck, or if he was a minor soldier, we wouldn't be able to do that. And it would be a big blow for us. And so I think that might be what's going on here with the Tyler Robinson case. Although, of course, that's pure speculation. I think we should probably wait to see the evidence trotted out during his trial.
If we get to see the evidence, if they don't, close off all cameras and, you know, all you're going to see is reporters and courtroom sketches. What I guess that's what we saw in the Diddy trial. It seems to be any of these high profile trials that people are interested in watching, unless it's Alex Jones and we want to like put him against the wall and throw darts at him. You know, that'll be televised, or at least put on the internet. But you know, these other trials, we're not going to see anything. Because I think they saw what kind of circus it brought with when the OJ trial happened. I mean, people, it was fodder for years with what went on in that trial and all the inconsistencies with the prosecution and what they were doing, and which eventually, you know, led him to get off. But looking at this Charlie Kirk assassination, I've got a video I'm going to play probably later. It's Rob O'Neill, who was claimed to be the guy who shot Osama bin Laden back in, I think, 2010 or 2011. I think it was 2011. He was one of the guys on that SEAL Team 6 raid in Pakistan, who went in and shot bin Laden. I personally don't think they even shot bin Laden. I think it was a lookalike, or it was an old man, and bin Laden was probably already, you know, had passed on. But who knows? We don't get real information from anywhere. You know, first they bury him at sea, then they don't. So I think we're going to see more of this. You know, we got the J6 pipe bomber. Now they've erased footage from the guy actually placing the bombs, Guy Orgel, placing these bombs. You know, that footage just magically erased. How does that happen in FBI custody? You got FBI with the footage, but then it gets erased. I mean, does that throw up a red flag for you?
Well, that's news to me. I know, didn't they like slow down the frame rate where it's kind of stilted and it doesn't actually show him placing the devices allegedly? And of course, if it were just that footage, it would be okay. Well, it sure looks like he places the devices. We'll give the government the benefit of the doubt. But of course, the very next morning, you had the Secret Service actually sweeping the area by the DNC with bomb sniffing
dogs.
Somehow they miss the device, and then Kamala Harris drives within 15 feet of it, and she never mentions it. So, yeah, it does raise a lot of questions of, you know, was that guy a total, you know, red herring? Did he actually even place those devices, or was that some sort of distraction?
Exactly. And then, you know, you have these people who are Gad Saad was talking about how he became a Mossad agent. And he's like, well, they gave me a bag and told me to bring it to a bank, talk to some people, and then try to leave without the bag to see what would happen. Well, and they go, did you look in the bag? He goes, no, I never looked in the bag. I mean, that's the kind of, like, and he was 18 at the time. So you get somebody young and impressionable. Hey, we're going to, you know, we're doing an operation with you. Take this box and go leave it on the corner. And you don't know what's in the box. You don't look in the box. And it could be a head. It could be a bomb. It could be anything. But here's a Loudermilk. And I'll play this clip later. It's about 5 minutes long. And we're getting to the end of the hour here. But he says, as we go looking for the video on January 6th to see, did anybody go back to these locations, that footage doesn't exist anymore. We have January 5th video, but we were told no one preserved January 6th. So I find that incredibly amazing that they go back and look for this footage. And it's like, eh, you know, we didn't save this footage during January 6th because we didn't think it was important. That to me stinks to high heaven.
Many such cases. There's a book that actually came out maybe 15 years ago called Tainted Evidence by a whistleblower named Dr. Frederick Whitehurst. He worked in the FBI crime lab in Quantico, and he went through a whole host of cases where evidence is either highly tainted or missing, you know, all the way from Ruby Ridge and Waco to through the OJ case even. We need an update for that book. I think we need a second edition because, of course, you mentioned, you know, the missing pipe bomb footage, but obviously, we've also got the fact that the man who almost assassinated Donald Trump last July, they leave him on the roof until 6 a.m., scuttle him off, release his body for cremation, and then you've got the FBI hosing off the roof the very next day before anybody but the FBI could examine the scene. So there's a long history to this. Unfortunately, it seems like the FBI is back in favor with Republicans, at least the ones in power again. So I'm not very hopeful that we're going to see any actual reform.
Yeah, it seems to be there's a group underneath, you know, these FBI leaders who are feeding the director and the deputy director, whatever they want. Ken Silva, you can reach him at JD_cashless. Thank you for joining me. He's running headlineusa.com. That's where you can catch all of his work. Thank you for joining us, Ken.
Thanks again.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs, potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue, possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line,
If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.